Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Rather than do a full sermon this morning, I've chosen to do some reflective thoughts on Lazarus and Jesus. And I guess if I had a title for this reflective thoughts, I would call it, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So to set the scene, just 2 miles from Jerusalem on the southeast slopes of the Mount of Olives in the West Bank is the village of Bethany, which was the home of Mary, Martha and Lazarus. The Palestinian name for Bethany is pronounced Lazaria. In Bethany is the tomb of Lazarus, a well-known and documented biblical site affirmed over and over again in the oral and written history of the people of Bethany. It was a spine-tingling experience to go into the tomb, starting from the path and going down some ancient winding steps until you came to a flat surface, an anteroom to the actual tomb where you stand on the bedrock of the earth. Through a small window-like cutting, you can look into the tomb itself, or if you're agile enough, you can crawl through an opening into the actual tomb. The tomb was lit by dimmed lights roughly hanging on the stone walls, and it was a mixed feeling of emotions as I stood in that space. Feelings of humility, of awe that Jesus and Lazarus had been here, and one of the miracles as he called Lazarus forth from the tomb 4 days after he had died. It truly felt like I was standing on sacred ground. Before I went down the steps of the tomb, I stood at the entrance and ran my fingers through the deep ruts in the rock face where the stone had been rolled away, and I imagined Jesus calling for Lazarus to come out. But who is Lazarus? He was not a remarkable person, except in the fact that he was a friend of Jesus. That is how his sisters see him, and that is how the mourners see him. That is how our Lord sees him. Jesus is on his journey to Jerusalem, to Calvary. He has come from Jericho after staying at Zacchaeus' house, and finally he arrives in Bethany, sandals and feet covered in dust, hot and tired, only to be met by Martha, who said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only. Mary and Martha and their friends wept when Lazarus died, not just at his death, but also at the fact that Jesus, their friend, didn't come and be with them at a time when they most needed him. He didn't come in time to be with Lazarus in his illness and death. Many of the mourners had heard of Jesus and seen him do miraculous things, but this time it appeared Jesus' help had come too late. Lazarus was long dead, and Jesus didn't show up until after the event. Imagine being at the tomb when Jesus began to weep and calling to Lazarus to come out. The onlookers must have been thinking, what now? Can't he just mourn properly like the rest of us? The words were hardly out of their mouths when they thought they must be seeing a ghost as Lazarus comes out of the tomb alive and still wrapped in his grave clothes. How can that be? This is too much, they say. He has been dead 4 days. You're right, Jesus says. This is too much. But if you believe, then God has much more in store than you can imagine. If you believe, you will see the glory of God as never before. And here he's referring to his own death, his crucifixion and resurrection. Surely one of the most powerful lines in the Bible is also one of the simplest. Jesus wept. As John begins the story of Lazarus, he wants us to know how deeply Jesus did love this man and his sisters. Jesus delayed his response to Mary's prayer that Lazarus was ill and Lazarus died. But in this case, Jesus had a purpose for his delay. No one would be able to grasp it until Lazarus was raised and Jesus was crucified and risen in Jerusalem. 2020 has brought with it unprecedented catastrophic events and misery to us all. And well, we may say, where is God? Was he 4 days behind us and the events that were impacting life as we knew it? What happened to the new year, a new decade we were so looking forward to? There has been droughts, unprecedented bushfires, days of blinding, choking smoke, loss of life and property, and catastrophic wildlife destruction, and now the coronavirus has hit. Our lives are running from one unprecedented crisis to another without time to catch our breath in between. How many times have you wept lately? How many times have you cried at the devastation of it all? Oh yes, we have much to weep for. A mum or dad or a child suffering from a fatal disease. Unemployment suddenly threatens us with the loss of jobs and our home. And we say, surely the Lord will deliver us. But the loved one dies. The home is lost. Our churches and businesses are closed. And we turn to doubt. Why didn't God respond to our prayers? Don't we have enough faith? Or can it be he doesn't love us as much as we thought he did? At such times, we really need to remind ourselves of Jesus' love for us and launch prayers towards heaven that are desperate. Don't let God's failure to give you what you ask shape your confidence in prayer or in God's love. He has something better in mind. We do not know God's purpose. We can't grasp it. And although it's hard to take in when we are in sadness and sorrow to read in Romans 8:28 that in everything God is working for the good of those who love him. In the raising of Lazarus, we see many of Jesus' emotions: compassion, indignation, sorrow, anger, frustration, and tears. Tears running down his dusty cheeks. Therefore, he understands ours. He understands the anguish of the human heart. He cares deeply enough for him to weep for us too. These verses penned by John remind us of how close Jesus was to the little family in Bethany and to help us realise that when Mary made her appeal to Jesus, she did so with absolute confidence that Jesus would respond immediately. After all, Lazarus was one he loved, a close and precious friend. But he didn't. He didn't make an immediate response. Max Lucado wrote, "I often wonder what Lazarus thought and said after he was raised from the dead, and imagine the testimony that he would give about how God had worked in his life. What a dinner conversation. Perhaps it went something like this. I got sick, and then I died. I mean, I really died, dead, nothing left, stone cold, no life, no breath. And then Jesus called me out of the grave, and when he spoke, my heart began to beat and my soul stirred and I was alive again. And I want you to know that he can do the same for you." What does Jesus teach us through suffering and sorrow? He teaches us that suffering doesn't mean the absence of Christ. With Christ, every day is a resurrection day, and it's vitally important to remember God's glory often lives in the deepest recessions of our pain. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am not distant. I am not future. I am eternal. I am present. I am here." Two profound words, "Jesus wept," tell us so much about God and our relationship with him. He wept with us in the drought as cattle and sheep died and farmers were in despair at dry and dusty paddocks. He wept with us in the bushfires at the loss of life and property, businesses and homes. He wept with us when the koala and the kangaroo, the lizard, the butterfly and bee, along with 1 billion other creatures and critters of all varieties, perished in the bushfires. He wept with us. If we look back over our lives, we can all identify times when God could have intervened for us. We could all say, "But what if?" and "Where were you?" and "If only." But he didn't. He could have changed things, but for some reason we cannot understand, he did not. One of the greatest things that Jesus did for us was to bring the good news that God loves us, that God is a God who cares. It tells us we are loved and surrenders us to the most poignant verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I don't know about you, but that is very comforting to me to know that Jesus feels the pain, the agony, the heart-wrenching grief, and proclaims them with his tears. He wept with Mary and Martha. He wept for them. He weeps with you. He weeps so we will know that tear-filled eyes don't represent a faithless heart. He is beside us in our suffering, weeping with us. We, like Lazarus, are who Jesus loves. I leave my thoughts with you to ponder on in your own time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we seek you out even more in this season of Lent from the isolation of our homes. Help us to think more of you, to spend more time with you, and to wait on you in all things. Help us to deal with the dead areas in our lives that we may come before you in trust and faith, in wholeness, washed clean, resurrected. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our friend and Saviour. Amen.